a treasure worth giving up everything else for. Talked with the kids about my earliest memory of a treasure was getting a samurai sword for my birthday. When we moved back to the States, shows you how old I am, I started collecting S&H green stamps. Yes, I got a few nods. Yes, S&H green stamps. And I would get a catalog every month, and there would be some treasure that I would say, oh, I will collect for this. And every time I saw a treasure, it needed 20 more books than what I had. And I start collecting those. But about the time I had those 20, I found something even more wonderful, right? And so I had to collect another 20 or 5 more books or 8 more books. And, you know, I don't think I ever actually redeemed them ever. For anything. Did anyone actually get anything from S&H Screen Stamp? Oh, all right, good. It was me. It was just me. The next treasures I used to go after was when we moved to Illinois, and I was delivering, this was in 8th grade, I was delivering the Chicago Tribune. And the way that they would get you to get more subscriptions is that they would dangle a treasure in front of you. And it might be, if you get 5 new subscriptions, you will get a free trip to Marriott's Great America and get free rides and free food all day long. If you got 10 more, you got this. The one I was going for was a bicycle, but it needed 50 subscriptions for the bike. I never got there. I never got that treasure. I did get to go to Marriott's Great America, but treasures after that were grades in high school. You gave up everything for that. So you can get good grades and go to school and go to college. And then when you were in college, it was like, I need to get good grades because I need to go to grad school. You want to go to seminary. And there you want to get good grades because you want to impress the Board of Ordained Ministry or something. I'm not sure. But Jesus is not saying the kingdom of God is like crazy striving after a goal. It's not something you earn. That's what things I was confusing as treasure were actually things I was trying to earn. Rather, the treasures Jesus is talking about were all unexpected. Unexpected treasure. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is among you, is within you. What unexpected gift? Like a treasure in a field, like the pearl of great price. What unexpected gifts have come your way without your needing to do anything? One thing I haven't heard any of the commentators talk about was also how, especially the first parable about the treasure in the field, this guy was not entirely honest about stuff. I mean, remember, he was walking on somebody else's land, la la la, and stumbles across some little bit of something poking out, treasure. He reburies it. Well, he must have dug it out. Go, wow, it's treasure. Reburies it, and then goes and sells everything he has. He has a giant garage sale, and then goes and buys the land. Hey, you know that worthless piece of backwater? Blah, 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 I'll give you $10 for it. Okay, cool. And boom. So he's kind of an operator. Jesus' point, I think, is to be, when you're walking around through the world, there's a particular way of seeing. The kingdom is, in a sense, a way of seeing, where you're on the lookout for what unexpected treasure is there. This is a really bad parable, but I'll do this. Last summer, I was running on the mountain bike trails around Saxon Hill, and I was running on the trails, and I almost stepped on a garter snake that was sunning itself in a sunny patch on the trail. And it was like, oh, sorry, Mr. Gardner Snake. Rah, rah, rah. But it, have you ever done this with a snake? For the rest of my run, everything that was vaguely S-shaped was a snake. There were snakes everywhere. I never actually saw a real one, but oh my gosh, my brain was thinking, snake, 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 for the rest of the afternoon. It imprinted on my vision. I haven't been fly fishing in 10 years. It's a crime. But still, after 10 years, if I'm driving by a river, my eyes don't go, oh, what a pretty river. It's instantly going to, oh, look at the eddy behind that boulder right there. That is the place a trout is. The eddy behind that boulder. Or, oh, look where two currents are converging there. It's a conveyor belt for bugs. There'll be a trout there. That is where I would drop a silly-looking blob of rooster feather and deer hair and float by that spot. Boom. And up comes the buried treasure of trout. It's a way of seeing. The kingdom is a way of seeing. My daughter, she came up last week, and we went skiing last weekend up at Trout Family Lodge, and we got out there, and she looks at me for 10 seconds and goes, Dad, you need to hold your poles about 6 inches wider and tuck in your abs. You can't fire your glutes in that position. It's like, thank you. I didn't know I'd ever fired my glutes. Does it matter that I've been skiing twice as long as she's been alive? No, because she can see with the eyes of a Nordic coach. Because I never had one. So she can see the way I ski, and in 10 seconds go, here's everything you're doing wrong. Now, I can return the favor. When she gets on her bike for a ride, I can look at her bike for 2 seconds and go, your front quick release isn't closed all the way. And she'll be like, oh, I've been riding like this all season. Like, yeah. Fix it. So there's a way of seeing that you see things other folks don't. The kingdom can get imprinted on you and in you. Everywhere you look, you can see hints of it. Despite the bad news that surrounds it, you might see someone operate out of grace rather than self-interest. And you're ready to see that. Your eyes are prepped to see that, and you can go, ah, that's a hint of the kingdom. You might experience forgiveness when someone could have ripped you to shreds for something stupid you did, and instead you experienced grace. If you're seeing with the eyes of the kingdom, you go, ah, that's a hint. That's a hint. When you see someone of strength caring for the weak, or you see the weak organizing for dignity and resilience, you can go, ah, that's a hint of the kingdom. I see it. It's a hidden treasure. But I see it coming up. But Jesus' parables are more than just a way of seeing. Each of the examples also requires not just seeing reality. The kingdom of God is reality. But I think Jesus is saying we also have to learn how to see it and work to bring it about. In each of the examples, folk had to do. Now, that wasn't the case with last week's wheat and tares. You know, you broadcast the seed, it comes up. Mustard seed, nobody even plants mustard seed. That just comes up all by itself. And suddenly you have this incredibly intransigent weed that is not going away. It doesn't require any human effort to bring that about. But in the ones today, human beings have to work with the kingdom, to work with God to make it come about. In order to get the treasure, the man had to see it, unbury it, get sneaky, rebury it, have a yard sale, and then go buy it. Fishermen have to bring that net up and separate the fish. The man who found the pearl of great price had also to go sell everything he could, or everything he had, in order to buy it. So we too, I think Jesus is saying, we need to help work with God in bringing the kingdom about. We can see the hungry. It doesn't even require kingdom eyes to see the hungry. And we can pray for the hungry to be fed. But until we learn how not only to see, but also to work out solutions to feed folk and alleviate the structural causes of hunger and injustice, we aren't seeing the kingdom until we help bring it about. So we're not seeing and acting with kingdom eyes and hands until we have a Friday night dinner. How did that go? I was not able to be there on Friday night. How did...
It went okay. We had probably between 45 and 50.
So a smaller crew. We see conflict. We don't need kingdom eyes to see conflict. We just have to read the paper or look out our window. And we can pray for peace. But until we learn how to see how to live in peace and then work for peace to make it a reality, until we do that, or when we do that, then there's something of the kingdom there. Today's parables are an invitation to recognize God's unexpected treasure around you and to work to bring it to completion, to fruition, to reality. God wants us to work with God and each other to help bring the kingdom about. I'm praying that this week in St. Louis, that something the United Methodist Church will discover, to see the harm we've done for our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters over the years, although it doesn't require kingdom eyes to see that. But can they be open enough to the movement of the Spirit to work with the Spirit to make the changes needed, that we might be an inclusive church, inviting all, just as Jesus invited all, into the kingdom. There's a scene from the film Gandhi, which I saw a million years ago, but boy, there's a scene I will not forget toward the end. India is groaning in labor pains to be an independent nation, and once again there is this tragic conflict between Hindus and Muslims that is tearing things apart, and the slaughter is going against everything that Gandhi, their beloved leader and promoter of nonviolence, has worked for. And so despite great risks to his health, Gandhi goes on another hunger strike in order to stop the violence, vowing not to eat until the violence between Hindus and Muslims ceases. And many days go by, and the fighting rages on, and Gandhi's doctors tell him that if he does not eat soon, he will die. One morning, a ragged Muslim man makes his way into Gandhi's bedroom. He hurls a piece of bread at him and says, "Here, eat this. I'm already going to hell, but I don't want your death on my conscience too." And Gandhi from his bed asks him quietly, "What do you want?" And the man says, "Last night my only son was killed in the riots by a Hindu. And I was so full of grief and rage that I went out and took a baby Hindu boy and I smashed him against the wall until his head broke open. I know I'm going to hell, but you mustn't die for us or we will have twice the torment. And Gandhi thinks for a moment and then asks him, you are a Muslim? Yes, the man says, I am. Then what you must do, Gandhi tells him, is to go out and find a Hindu boy whose father was killed last night, take him home and adopt him to be your only son and raise him to be a good Hindu. A glimpse of grace in the hell of religious infighting. Perhaps a good lesson for the Methodists meeting in St. Louis this week. The message of the parables is see a glimpse of treasure. And work like hell to bring it to fruition. Sacrifice everything to bring it to completion. God's kingdom, or kingdom or realm, however you want to translate that, this realm of justice and peace and mercy and compassion and holiness and love, it comes hidden within us. It comes welling up around us, and it also needs us to search for it, to seek it, to sacrifice for it. And working with God, bring it to completion. Kingdom people, search, find, build.